you want Harlem, go away. I need more peace and hope and love. Where do I find it in this crazy old world?
I need strategies, strategies for the radio. Your dose of radio rehab. Strategies for the radio. Every time I listen, Lauren and David share strategies for living, and it makes me aware. I've got strategies, I got strategies for living. Strategies for living radio. Your dose of radio rehab. Strategies for living radio. Your dose of radio rehab.
Oh, you know we need them. We all need strategies. Strategies for living, that is. So are you ready? You're ready for your daily dose of radio rehab?
I'm ready.
You ready?
Oh, yeah. I'm ready.
You know, I got to be very careful.
About ready.
I got to be very careful what I say today. Hey, folks,
yeah,
welcome. I really do, and folks, you'll understand in a moment why. Welcome. Welcome into another edition of Strategies for Living here on 101.7 FM and 710 Kiel. I'm Dr. David McMillan. She is psychotherapist, PLPC Lauren Leon McMillan. And, you know, Lauren, I've been thinking.
Mm-hmm.
That's,
yes.
That's dangerous sometimes,
it is,
isn't it?
It's quite dangerous for you.
Well, we all deserve sex that's great for everybody involved, don't we?
Sure.
Yeah. Yeah. And, yeah. And we all, you know, need, we can all, it doesn't matter how old we are, how long we've been doing what we do naturally.
Mm-hmm.
I think we can all learn more. We can all grow.
Right. I mean, that's part of our quest as people and evolving people is just to learn more anyway about anything and everything we do in life,
so
including sex.
So when a book came across our radar recently,
yes,
and it was entitled Good Sex, and, you know, it's stories, it's science, and get this, strategies for sexual liberation. By Dr. Candace Nicole Hargons.
Mm-hmm.
It was a no-brainer.
Right.
We had to reach out to Dr. Candace. We had to invite her to come on and be a life strategist.
Mm-hmm.
And
sexuality is part of the whole human. It's part of what we talk about as mind, body, spirit relationships. It's
absolutely
all intertwined. So.
And what Dr. Candace does is give us the ingredients to revolutionize our sexual menu in a way that works well for all of us, including intimacy, fun, pleasure, nastiness, and connection.
All right.
I mean, can you get better than that?
Sounds like a recipe for love.
I think so. So that's what we're diving into today here on Strategies for Living. I hope you will come with us. And we appreciate our sponsors making it all possible. The Robinson Film Center. And Azalea Cleaners. I told you I had to be careful. And Pintail Roofing. And Learning RX. And the Balanced Life Wellness Center. And Pertina's Delicatessen, home of the Godfather. Alligator Italian Sausage. In a moment, we are coming back with Good Sex, Stories, Science, and Strategies for Sexual Liberation. That's today here on Strategies for Living. Welcome in. Welcome in to 101.7 FM, 710 Kiel. Welcome into Strategies for Living. Lauren Leon McMillan, David McMillan. Let's welcome into the program now our life strategist. She is Dr. Candace Nicole Hargons. She's an award-winning associate professor at Emory University's Rollins School of Public Health, where she studies sexual wellness and liberation. She's got over 80 published articles, and she's made a substantial contribution to the field, positioning herself as a leading authority. Her innovative work has been widely recognized and featured in major podcasts and publications like Huffington Post and Essence and Good Housekeeping and Women's Health. And she, as a thought leader, Dr. Hargons continues to shape the conversation around sexual wellness, advocating for liberation and wellness within marginalized communities. And hot off the press, I mean, it's just out. The name of the book is flaming. Good Sex, Stories, Science, and Strategies for Sexual Liberation. Dr. Candace Nicole Hargons, welcome to Strategies for Living.
Welcome.
Thank you so much for having me.
Absolutely. Well, how could we turn, you know, you've got strategies in the name of the,
I know, right?
Book. So how could, it was a given. It was meant to be, right?
It was in perfect alignment.
All right, so let's start with this. I mean, I'm going to do a man thing, okay? And I'm going to do a
I'm going to do a
Southern man thing. Here I am.
All right.
I'm going to be Bubba, okay, for just a sec.
My favorite.
Now look here, little lady. Why do I need a book about sex? I mean, look at me. I don't know if you've ever been asked that question or not, but now you've been asked that question, Dr. Candace.
No, I think that's a perfect question from anyone, because most of us come up in households, in communities where talking about sex is off the table. Mm-hmm. And then when we're adults, we're expected to know how to do it well,
right?
Especially for men.
Yep.
Right? Where you're supposed to be really good at it automatically, having no experience and being judged by that. So having a book that helps walk you through some of the, and I call them sexual seasonings, but some of the ingredients that can facilitate a good sex experience is a manual, if you will, for some of the things you can practice with the strategies for how to practice them.
So how would you define good sex? Because obviously it's a great title. What's the definition of good sex?
Thank you.
And why are we worthy of it? Why are we worthy of good sex? It's important. I think that's two important questions.
Good sex is sex that is good to and good for everybody involved. And I think we're all inherently worthy human beings of all the good life has to offer, sex being included in that.
Right.
And so I like to distinguish between worthiness and entitlement, because sometimes when we talk about, like, I deserve this, this should be mine, it comes from a place of I'm willing to get it at all costs. Whereas worthiness is that we all are provided access to it and in an invitational, consensual way.
I like that.
Yeah.
Yep.
I like
it makes
it
a big
too.
Difference.
And I think this whole book is going to make a big difference. So what are the ingredients? What are good sex ingredients?
So my research team and I conducted a study where we asked people, if you could define good sex in three words, what would they be? And over 400 people participated in the study. And so we consolidated those lists to the top 20. And some of the ingredients came from that list. Things like passion, which was our number one, intimacy, love, pleasure, satisfaction, comfort, relaxation, nastiness, as you described earlier. Like, those were some of the ingredients of good sex, the things that help people enjoy the sexual experience.
Yeah. So, you just said something. This is research based. This is science-based, isn't it? I mean, I think that's important to point out here at the beginning of our conversation.
Yeah, I build it on a large body of evidence. Some of it, which my research team and I have conducted, I spent 9 years at the University of Kentucky before I transitioned to Emory University, so much of the work was conducted there. But I think if we build from a scientific basis, but we build it with stories as well, because I'm a licensed psychologist, mm-hmm. and so some of the clinical work that I've done over the course of a decade has also informed this. So it's science and practice, because I know a lot of folks, especially where I'm from, they want practical knowledge, they want common sense based knowledge, but my folks in the academy, they want to know that there's an evidence based that's beyond people's experience. So I combine them because mm-hmm. I think both of them are useful sources of knowledge.
How well do we do? Right now I'm going to call you professor for this okay. question, okay? If you had to, you know, if you had to grade all of us collectively, and I hope you'll do it on the curve, but anyway, that's up to you. If you had to give us a grade collectively in our culture, in our in this vast culture of ours that we call America, how we doing? What grade do we get?
Okay, so if I was grading on a curve, we would be a C. Okay. But if I'm giving an authentic grade, it's probably a D+.
Wow.
And I say a D+ because, so I identified earlier that most of us come up and we get these sexual scripts, I call them cultural recipes, about what sex is, what it should be, who gets to have it, who doesn't get to have it. Mm-hmm. And right. then we go through our school system, and most of us don't get comprehensive sex education. So we find that if you were like me in my era, I'm middle-aged, and we got the abstinence-only, hear our diseased genitals talk, as opposed right. to here's all the good things that sex can be, and here's how to keep yourself healthy and safe.
Right.
And then we get into relationships with people when we're a little older, and we figure it out on the fly. Mm-hmm. And sometimes some of us are curious. They listen to shows like this. They are always seeking knowledge, and we figure it out a little bit better each time. And some of us get really stuck. Mm. And on occasion, the stuck and the curious are partnered. And so yeah. then we find even more discrepancy in what the sexual experiences are. So I often work with people in the stuck place when I'm working with them clinically. But I think that if we had a better foundation, then we would be allowed to have more curiosity and a critical lens for our sexual experiences.
Yeah. How do you want people to read? This is hot off the press. I mean, it just came mm-hmm. out. How do you want people to read Good Sex, Dr. Candace? How do you want us to use Good Sex?
I'd love for people to think about what ingredients they're most curious about and go to those chapters. It's not a book that you have to read from start to finish in sequential order. It's a book that you can pick up kind of like something that's a reference. You can read it in that way because the stories can flow in that way, but maybe you want to learn a bit more about intimacy because that's an area of your life where you've continued to struggle. And maybe right. you want to learn a little bit more about pleasure, because that's an area of your life where you feel like you're thriving and you want to see how you fit with what the strategies that I suggest are. I would suggest people approach it that way and take the things that they're really most curious about first. And then if they feel rewarded by reading each chapter, because each chapter is its own bite-sized morsel,
right.
then read the whole thing all the way through. But yeah. start with what piques your interest.
Why did you choose, and I'm so glad that you did, but why did you choose to include stories? I'm mm-hmm. so glad you did yeah. include the stories, because I think it makes it rich.
It does, right? Mm-hmm. It helps it resonate. Yeah. I think human beings learn well in story form. So because I'm a scientist, I love reading nerdy stuff. Like, I will read peer-reviewed articles for fun.
Right.
But if my grandma and my friends who are not in the academy can't read it, it's not even worth it to do. That's the way I feel about the work that I do.
Yeah.
So to bring in the stories helps it connect with your emotion and your human experience. And then I'll sprinkle the science in there in a way that's not too intimidating. And if I didn't start with the stories and it was only a scientific thing, it would just be for my academic colleagues. And that's not who I wanted the audience of this book to be.
Right. You wrote it for all of us.
Yeah.
Yeah. And we're going to dive in. We're going to dive into, I hope you will share some of the stories with us as we move on. Any of the stories that you feel are important to share. Obviously, there's a lot of them in this book. This is a couple of hundred pages in the book. But, you know, I love the fact that we've got, and we've already talked about this, good sex is intimate, it's fun, it's pleasurable, it's satisfying, it's orgasmic, it's passionate, it's reciprocal, it's nasty, it's exciting, it's loving, it's spiritual, it's sensual, it's communicative. It's wet. it's safe. It's relaxing. It's comfortable. It's liberating. Now, you know, a few years ago, not too many years ago.
Yeah.
It's interesting. I probably couldn't have gotten away on the radio with saying it's wet. but I'm so glad that I can now. So we're going to dive into all of this. Let's take a break. We are with Dr. Candace Nicole Hargons today. The book, and you got to get this. It's your favorite bookseller. It's called Good Sex, and I don't think you'll be disappointed. But before you run to your favorite bookstore, stay here with us because we've got a lot more to learn today from Dr. Candace Nicole Hargons on Strategies for Living. Be right back. Welcome back into 101.7 FM, 710 Keel. Lauren Leon McMillan, David McMillan, with Dr. Candace Nicole Hargons, the author of Good Sex, at your favorite bookseller right now. What's the best way? Do we go to all the normal places? Do you have an online presence too, Dr. Candace? What's the best way to get this book? Quickly,
I love a good local bookstore. If you have one in your community, go ahead and request it there. That's the best way to keep money in our local communities. But if you don't, you certainly can go to Barnes and Noble, Amazon, anywhere books are sold.
All right. I want to go right to something that I think is extremely important today.
Yeah.
All right. And that is, good sex is safe.
Mm-hmm.
We've had a lot of conversation. And I think in this last decade or more, I mean, I don't want to make this negative at all. We don't need to. Everybody's, you know, we've all been exposed to the same news, right? So we know, we know what we're talking about. So there's a lot that's very, very important in this portion of the book. So I'm going to ask you to put on your professor hat again. And what would you say to us? How would you summarize? I mean, that this is a very, very important chapter. Good Sex is Safe. What do we need to know about that?
I'd like us to start with the foundation of consent as the basis for safety. And consent was one of those words that when we surveyed the people for this study, they gave us time and time again, but it was so foundational to sex, meaning it's not even sex if it's not consensual, that I couldn't make it a chapter on its own. It had to be a thread, a through line. Mm-hmm. But in the safe chapter in particular, I want to reinforce that point, because to be invitational about sex, to make it something that's not an obligation, a coercion or force, but something that people get to opt into, is so right. core to it being good.
Right.
And that's the foundation for the safety piece, psychological safety and physical safety.
Yep.
And then to add on top of that, how you promote each other's health and protect your health. So you health promoting and health protecting benefits of sex, meaning that you get to choose your contraceptive options in good communication with your partner. You get to decide what works well for each of you and negotiate your boundaries around that.
Right.
All of those components for good sex is safe are critical.
Yeah. I'm dating myself now, but years ago, I came across the work of Dr. I think it was Robert Sternberg, who was attempting to talk about and define
the triangle, the love.
Yeah, the love.
The
yeah,
love.
True love, right?
Right.
And Dr. Sternberg, I love what he did. He used a triangle, like mm-hmm. you said, Lauren, and he put in that triangle intimacy, passion, and safety. And when I first read his work and knew that I was going to be working with couples and things like that, I took some liberties. Dr. Sternberg did not, as I recall, did not position safety necessarily at the base of the triangle. But I took a, I used, I kind of took license, and I moved safety to the base of the triangle, and said, you know, of course we want to maintain intimacy and passion. And we can do that, perhaps, or fool ourselves into thinking we're doing it,
mm-hmm.
You know, through romantic love or lust or anything else. But to sustain it over time, safety has to go at the base if you want to mm-hmm. sustain intimacy and passion. And in a you know, like Lauren and I are married, of course we want to keep intimacy and passion. Mm-hmm.
Right.
Alive
right.
in our relationship, but it can't be unless it's safe.
Mm-hmm.
It's impossible.
That's so true. Mm-hmm. And what feels safe evolves sometimes over time. If you're in a good place relationally, if you're healthy with each other, then your safety increases as you get to know each other, as you reveal yourselves to each other, as you become more vulnerable. That vulnerability is met with tenderness and compassion.
Mm-hmm.
And that's such a solid foundation for you to build out any of the other ingredients in this book. So I really like the way you frame that.
Now, to be fair, you know, I went serious on you right away. I went right to the safety thing. But I want to balance that, because I think a lot of what we don't do sometimes is stay in balance. We live mm-hmm. life out of balance. So I want to try to balance. I went serious. But one of the early chapters in the book is titled, Good Sex is Fun.
Yes.
Yeah. Mm. So... I don't think I want to, I'm not going to make you put your professor hat back on.
Not for this one.
I have a fun professor hat, oh, so okay. It's okay.
If you have a fun professor hat, then you can still wear it. But, you know, it's important. It's as safe is important, but fun is important too, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And I think about, in the book, I reference many types of fun, but I call them thrill fun or chill fun. Mm. So you have to define what your fun construct is. Are you a person that likes adventure? Do you like novelty? Do you like excitement? Are you looking for new experiences? Is that fun to you? Or are you a person that likes, you know, peace and relaxation and contentment? And is that fun to you? For example, fun to me might be reading a book together and watching a movie that's funny and laughing together. Fun to my husband might be jet skiing. And so
right.
I have to try to do those things because that's his form of fun. And he has to try to do the things that I like because that's my form of fun. So we blend our thrill and chill fun. Mm-hmm. But understanding your fun profile influences sex as well, because it's about being able to laugh with each other, to not take yourself so seriously, to even in the awkward moments that sex can have for most of us, like to be able to see it as the silliness that it is and to have some levity in the sexual experience. Hmm.
You've also got, and I, you know, again, one of the things that impresses me about this book is how much you have covered in a couple of hundred pages. So, you know, you've got so much in here that is going to make us think, and I hope stretch all of us. So one of the things that you've got in the book is there's a chapter, it's called Good Sex is Satisfying. And one of the things you talk about in that chapter is quality and quantity. You know, and I know from working for years, 30 years, with a lot of couples, that this is an, you know, we're not, we come together and create a couple, and we have different appetites, different ideas, different thoughts, different feelings, different approaches. So, you know, I might think, oh gosh, I'm twice a week, man, you know, I'm stretching it. Lauren might think, no, what are you talking about, buddy? Come on. How do we deal with that?
That's what you're absolutely right. As a clinician, that's one of those quintessential things that I never stop seeing, the discrepancy between people's sex drive as it relates to frequency. But what I find is usually on the level below that, there's something else that they're communicating, right? And so the person that tends to desire sex more frequently, that might be the way that they feel seen, feel desirable, feel understood, feel connected to, feel wanted. And the person that is experiencing less desire for frequency, it may be that, you know, they're satisfied at less frequency, or maybe the sex that they are having isn't the level of quality that would encourage more frequent sex. And so we break down all of those things clinically. What we find is that most couples don't have higher relationship satisfaction over once a week. So for most long-term couples, once a week is the norm for them, and there's no added benefits beyond that. It's just your preference, and that's cool. You can have a preference for more or less, whatever works for you. But quality of sexual experiences, when that goes up, regardless of how often, your relationship satisfaction goes up with it.
You're a doctor. You're a PhD. So you're not a medical doctor, but I'm going to ask you a health question.
Sure. I'm definitely a psychologist, so I can answer it from that lens, but there not the physician lens.
Right. But the healthiness of sex for us physically, right? Because sex is healthy. I mean, we're sexual beings, right? We're supposed to be sexual.
Yes. So we've got health promotion as it relates to your mood, your hormone balance. Certain forms of reproductive cancers are decreased based on, you know, people having a healthy sex life, and the quality of life in general. So you can have longevity in life without it being a high quality life experience, but quality of life is improved. People find life more worth living. And so I think those are some of the health benefits that having a good sex life offer.
Sounds like sexual liberation to me, let me tell you. The book is Good Sex. It's stories, science, and strategies for sexual liberation. Dr. Candace Nicole Hargons, our life strategist and the author of that book. You got to get it. Good Sex. Be easy to remember the name. We've got more with Dr. Candace Nicole Hargons today. She's our life strategist here on Strategies for Living. Be right back. Welcome back in to Strategies for Living Radio here on 101.7 FM, 710 Keel, Lauren Leon McMillan, Dr. Candace Nicole Hargons, our life strategist today. I'm David McMillan. The book is Good Sex, Stories, Science, and Strategies for Sexual Liberation, Dr. Candace Nicole Hargons. And, you know, the unfair thing about trying to do a radio interview with a book like this, Dr. Candace, is how can, I mean, it would take us, we could do a 6-hour show.
Yeah, easy.
And not right. even, and not even scratch the surface of what we need to, you know, what we need to be covering. So I hope you'll promise to come back and revisit us.
I would love to.
Yeah. Okay, so I want to go someplace else. Again, I could go a lot of different places here, but I want to go someplace that some people may think is a bit provocative, in that they might not even they might disagree with me. They would be wrong, but but you've got a whole chapter of the book about good sex is spiritual.
Mm. Mm-hmm.
And I think that is so important.
Yep.
And it's spiritual. It's more than religiosity.
Yeah.
But let's talk about that. And you even get into spiritual science in this chapter. Tell us, and Lauren is going, Lauren is raising both hands over there.
That's my deal.
Yeah.
That's my jam.
Yeah. So talk to us about this.
It's when people, so whenever I ask people that question that I gave at the beginning, how would you describe good sex in 3 words? And I answer it for myself. The word that is consistent across all times, because I change the definitions for myself with the seasons, but there's one word that is consistent, and it's transcendent.
Mm-hmm.
I want a divine sexual experience. I want one that helps remind me that the world, the universe, that there's so much bigger than myself. I like that. That for me is good sex is spiritual. It's something that connects you to whatever the source of your own creation is. And for different people, that can mean different things.
Right.
But it alivens you. It animates you in that way. It's really, literally one of the ways that human beings, you know, come to be.
Right.
And so I think to understand the power of sex in that way is to understand that it is spiritual, however people might define the spirit.
Right. And of course, if we're going to talk about spiritual, we got to talk about wet.
Yeah,
a wonderful segue.
How did we transition that way?
Well, because the church that I grew up in sprinkled me often with holy water, and I you know,
the holy water.
So, right, I mean, it made sense to me.
You made it.
I did it.
You
okay.
Made it.
All right.
What
the anointing?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Now, I realize some people right now are listening to us either in their car or at home. And they may be shifting in their seat a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
But I think this is important.
Yeah.
I think it's very important because, and I'm going to ask you why you included it. You included it as a chapter in the book. I don't know why you didn't include it up closer to the front. But well, I'm not even going to ask you that. But it's so important. And you begin the chapter with a section called Wet, Wetter, and Wettest.
So,
let's talk about that.
Yes. So one of the things that I'm hearing from a lot of women, as I'm in middle age, and most of the people that I work with are in perimenopause or older. We're contending with this idea that as hormones shift, lubrication can potentially shift.
Right.
And a lot of folks have been having these conversations thinking about how you have good sex when it's painful, you know, how you have good sex when you don't, you know, seem to be able to get aroused in the way you once did. And so I talk about wetness as one of those things where it doesn't have to be you comparing yourself to your old self in that way about your capacity for arousal, but understanding that there are lubricants out there. There are options for people who have hormone changes. There are ways that you can make sex wet that doesn't have to over rely on just your body's ability to produce it organically. Mm-hmm. So I kind of, you know, address it from another way. Like, the lubrication is really important for it to feel good for most people.
Right.
And also, there are options out there that you can purchase that help you with that if it happens to be an area where you might not experience the type of wetness that you once did or never did.
Right. And that's important. I mean, some men in the audience may say, okay, well, that's not for me. That's for my partner. But that's for men. You're talking to men too, aren't you?
Absolutely. So I want to make sure that men and women know, because I'm not thinking about sex in a specific heterosexual way. I'm thinking about sex in all the ways that sex can be.
Right.
But men also use lubricant for different sex acts. And so there's the understanding of what it can be and where you can get it from, who introduces you to it, and what its uses are is helpful for everybody.
How, Dr. Candace, and now, you know, again, I'm going towards the end of the book because we've only got about a minute and a half left, unfortunately. But, you know, you're one of the last things that you talk about toward the end of the book is setting your sexual self free. Mm-hmm. Unfair for me to give you a minute and a half to answer this.
Yeah.
Nonetheless, I'm going to ask it. In a minute and a half, how do you tell people to set their sexual self free?
Think about what the things are that you actually want sexually that you have been afraid to explore because you think it might not be becoming, because you fear you may be judged, because you have been taught that good guys don't or good girls don't. And give yourself permission to be curious about that thing. I always share with people, it doesn't mean you have to do the thing, but explore it, read about it, be curious about it, and see what about it piques your interest. Setting your sexual self free is in stages. It's not one of those things where you go from one extreme to another. You might find that you don't like it as much as you thought once you learn a little bit more about it, or you might find that you want to realize that fantasy. And so it's about being curious and giving yourself the permission to explore as opposed to staying constricted and inhibited.
This book has so much.
And it's so important today.
It is.
That we continue the conversation.
It's a book for our time, and I wish we had more of that time, but we are going to have you back. And in the meantime, I invite people to continue the conversation with you by going and getting a copy of Good Sex, Stories, Science, and Strategies for Sexual Liberation. Dr. Candace Nicole Hargons, our life strategist today here on Strategies for Living. We'll be right back. And welcome back. Welcome back into Strategies for Living here on 101.7 FM, 710 Keel. Lauren Leon McMillan, David McMillan, Dr. Candace Nicole Hargons, the author of Good Sex. You know, again, Dr. Hargons, there's so much. I'm so glad that you wrote this book, and I'm so glad that you took time of your busy schedule to come and share with us today. There's so much for us to learn. What do you want to leave us with? What do you want to, you know, what thought or thoughts do you want to leave with us today?
Just that we're all inherently worthy of good sex. You're inherently worthy of pleasure in all of these ingredients. And so I invite you to take that up in season and to think about what you want and to pursue it with all that's in you and take those steps.
I love it. You got a promise to come back. And
I certainly will.
We will look forward to that. Folks, in the meantime, go pick up a copy of Good Sex. I promise you, you will not be disappointed that you've done that. And we didn't even get to any stories today.
Oh, man. You were definitely going to have her
but
back.
We'll do that next time. We'll do that next time.
Yes.
And
thank you.
Dr. Candace Nicole Hargon's Good Sex. And you can find it wherever you find books, at your favorite bookseller. I like Dr. Candace's recommendation. If you've got a bookstore in town, go to your bookstore and ask for it, or go to your library and ask for it.
Or Spotify or Audible.
There you go.
You can listen to it.
There you go. Folks, thank you for tuning into Strategies for Living. We appreciate you being here. We do this for you each and every day, and we can do it because of our wonderful sponsors, the Robinson Film Center, and Azalea Cleaners, and Pintail Roofing.
Roof, roof.
And Learning RX, and the Balanced Life Wellness Center, and Fertitta's Delicatessen, home of the Godfather, Alligator, Italian Sausage, and some pretty good Muffies, too. If today were the last day of your life, you only had one more phone call that you could make, who would you call? And what would you say? And why are you waiting? Make the call. For Dr. Candace Nicole Hargons and for Lauren Leon McMillan, I'm David McMillan. See you next time right here on Strategies for Living.